Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another reality show, and I am your host, Golden Hawk. Yay! And it is Third Thursdays. Yay! That can only mean one thing. That means we are here with the fabulous and enchanting Christina Keene, and shortly we will bring in the goddess Sophia. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Hi, Goldie. Very happy to be here.
Very happy to have you here. And so I wrote on my Facebook blog entry for, you know, to share the show that change, you know, didn't David Bowie say it best?
Just change it.
Exactly. You know, I'm going through tremendous physical changes. I'm very clear that my changes are not, this is not quote unquote, I'm not getting sick because I've done something wrong.
Right. Good perspective.
And they're really, when I think when we acknowledge the change as a forward motion in consciousness, it's still uncomfortable, but there's an excitement about it that, you know, there's no guilt and there's no shame of, you know, oh, what am I being punished for? What have I missed? Or it's really like, oh, wow, you know, nature's kind of happening to me, within me. I'm excited. I mean, hands down, my butt is getting kicked because it's vertigo. So vertigo is very, you know, it's almost like it's the drunk without the buzz.
I tell
my friends, I mean, it's a lot of spinning, and spinning is nausea. Or another way to put it, it's like being pregnant without the baby. So, but, you know, when you acknowledge it as, I always like to just speak for myself, by acknowledging it as a forward motion, I'm very excited because I'm also seeing that my dream state is much, I'm becoming more lucid in my dream state. And in all honesty, just shutting my eyes, the ability for me to travel through my imagination is, there is the space behind my eyes is expanding. I can go farther, more effortlessly.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I also love the whole imagination as I use this whenever something challenging shows up. Sophia talks about this as well, but really actually having a conversation with being sick, having a conversation with vertigo as if they're actually a person, and if you have a good imagination, it's easy to go there. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, it's really great. It actually really works. The funny thing is I'm actually on a master cleanse right now, so I'm 10 days into a fast right now.
Wow. Okay, nobody's allowed to talk about any kind of cupcakes or cookies. Okay, go.
I know, exactly. No, you actually get used to it at a certain stage, but I'd have to say in the last few days I've been having those burger craves because you know, it's one of those things that's when your fat starts to actually burn, you can, for me, I am very body sensitive, so I feel all those things. John always laughs at me because I would say, I can feel that pizza going directly to my butt. And he's like, that's not possible. And I'm like, yeah, but it is possible for me. I can't.
Everything's possible. I don't believe anything's impossible. And I definitely agree. We're all becoming like really, the expansion is for me the awareness of what is.
Yeah.
So if indeed there's parts of that pizza that go to, you know, the lower part of your body, why wouldn't you be able to feel that? I would trust that wholeheartedly.
I can feel it. And the interesting thing I thought I would throw out, I think it's really fascinating that I've been having conversations. Okay, everyone, I'm not crazy. It's an imaginary conversation. Just going to preface that. But I've been having a conversation with fat, the being that is fat. And it's been fascinating. I've been kind of obsessed with the, is it Jamie Oliver's, it's the Food Revolution. Have you seen that program?
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
It's really exciting. He's an English chef, and he's come here, and he's really determined to take on the bad American eating habits, and he's in schools, and he's going through all this resistance. But anyways, this whole conversation around, what does fat do to us, and what does it serve on our body, and how is it preventing us from living good lives? I ended up opening this conversation because as I'm on this fast, I'm like, what does fat have to say to me? And I had this whole conversation that, again, is an imaginatory conversation, I'll say that. But it's that, fat serves a purpose in that it awakens us to carrying weight, either individual or collective weight, and it's a signifier of how we feel about ourselves. The more fat we carry, the more that we're carrying material or baggage. And from fat's perspective, we'll just leave it at that. From fat's perspective, it was an honor to provide such a service where it gave people an opportunity to dialogue with themselves and to get more conscious. So from fat's perspective, it was a way to get people to awaken. And so fat was really happy to serve that purpose. So I was really fascinated. I thought fat would kind of be peed off of having a really crappy job in the world, if I
You
were to
know, that's
imagine.
interesting. I love it because I don't think any of the quote unquote what we have titled negative
Right.
feel negative in the essence of, in other words, the way it was described to me is like the dark side, the shadow side of who we are, if we just was to, kind of bundle it up into one little bundle.
Right.
The dark side loved the light so much, and it was described to me as the ah being the light, the oh being the dark, that the dark took on everything the light didn't want because it loved the light.
Oh, it's a beautiful way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's genuine, deep compassion in all that we consider dark. Because it took it on knowing there was a level of consciousness that we didn't like that part.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have found it fascinating that in terms of shadow material, this whole thing of having a conversation with an aspect of a shadow, I've found over and over again that I'm always surprised what those negative sides of myself actually have to say when I'm not trying to push them away or run from them or call them bad. I'm fascinated. And to actually, I never even thought of fat as an, and of course it's the negative side, but I was so fascinated by this concept that, this, energy that holds the label of fat would have, great value and things to share about, that perspective. So I think it's amazing, and I'm using that off of what you're talking about feeling sick, is that conversation of, what does this round of the body processing have to say to you? What does vertigo have to say to you as an actual being? And it sounds strange. I know it does, but the more people actually try this tool, it works. It's like out of nowhere, some voice in my head is talking, and that's not strange for me being a channel, So this is
Indeed,
my
indeed.
reality. I'll admit to it. To go, wow, for me personally, I would have never thought of all the things that kind of fat talked to me. So I wrote it down and I thought, as I'm taking a sabbatical right now. So I thought it might be an interesting piece that I might share in my explorations as I'm taking a sabbatical from the insights. So,
Right,
anyway.
yeah, right. No, I appreciate it. Well, and I'll be honest with you, it's interesting because when as I listen to you, I realize how much I channel. Because everything you just said to me about having a conversation with it, I do. I don't necessarily label it as a being, but I do indeed talk to my being
Right.
in separation aspects, meaning I have there's the aspect that spins and I've absolutely said to it, am I sick? And they're like, I say they, I mean as if it's a collective consciousness. But the answer clearly was that no, you're not. You're progressing. You have asked and intended to ascend. And this is how the body, there's a time frame when the consciousness and the body is in a bridge between the two. And the spinning is, you're not really grounded into the earth, you're not really plugged in, you're in a void, just don't fear it, because it, after the body DNA gets shifted and changed, which is not my job, it's happening from a natural process as well as guides and everything else, then I'll replug in. So, but what I never realized is how much I actually do have conversations, because who else can tell me about the inner me but me?
But you, exactly.
Which is, yes.
Well, I totally find that most of us do forms of channeling. We're not going to call it that, but they are having conversations with sides of themselves and aspects of themselves and aspects of humanity, you know, aspects of what's going on out there as well as what's going on in here. I find people all the time telling me things that I really want to jump up and say, oh, wow, you're channeling your mother.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
I can see it flat out. I can see that moment where, you know, I'm clear about who the person is who's talking to me, and all of a sudden this thought will come in and it's clear, it's not there. So it's fascinating. I think it's a great thing to talk about, because I'd love to start taking out that fear about what is channeling and, you know, this idea that this is a natural process. And I loved, Goldie, that you said they, because for me as a channel, listening to that, there is a natural dizziness that goes along with communicating with more than one guide at a time. So when I first started channeling, I was like a pretty open channel. I was pretty excited about this. Cool, who wants to talk? Yeah, that's cool.
Exactly, definitely.
And there's definitely a dizziness that goes on with that. Maybe as a possibility, I throw out there an idea that you're opening more and more of the channel, and in it you're sensing, you know, that we all have several guides around us, and that process of going from one to the other, it is a little dizzying. It is a little like, whoa, that being is so different from that being who's so different from that being. I think that's really interesting in terms of energy and recognizing energy. So that may be part of it, the process of recognizing and distinguishing energies, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense, as well as, you know, to be quite honest, since I guess 1992 is when I found Kryon, or the Kryon, Lee Carroll's work, I have intended myself to be a channel. I mean, you know, in all honesty, that could be another, you know, step for me. A layer. Excellent word. Yes, that could easily be another layer. And I'm open to it, because, you know, I've learned enough, because the first thing that comes to me is I'm not afraid of, you know, letting beings come into my being, or beings outside of me. And I don't even know that it's outside of me, as opposed to, because it's all happening inside of me. Because I know when I played with the spaceship, when the spaceship was over my house, there was a moment I said to myself, if I become afraid of this, I won't have this experience.
I don't know about the spaceship. Sorry, fill me in on the.
You don't know about the. Oh, okay. Yeah, this. That's interesting. Okay. Well, in short, I was doing a Holosync process, which is a brainwave frequency thing that I've been doing for 9 years now, but it was like 2 years into it, and I had an experience where all of a sudden I could see through the wall of my bedroom where I lived. Three spaceships were coming down the street, you know, in the sky. I knew intuitively they were coming for me. When they got over my house, there was a moment, a clear conscious moment for myself that said, if you choose fear, you won't go. And I had done enough reading, and, you know, remember the movie Risky Business?
Vaguely.
Well, there was a tagline in the movie that says, sometimes you just got to say, what the heck? In the movie, they didn't say heck. And I was like, okay, let's play. Because I realized that I was definitely, I was frightened that, okay, this is such an unknown for me. It's easy to fall into fear. And yet there was something clear in me that said, but you know what? I really am. I'm a pioneer. I'm an adventurer. I have a lot of pirate, so to speak, energy in me. It was like, come on, let's play. If you get in trouble, Goldie, you'll deal with that later. And then I went in. I mean, my consciousness became oneness as I left my body. I was hovering above my house. I was completely aware of, I'd say, about a quarter mile surrounding area of everything. I mean, I was aware of the droplets of air. I was aware of the people on the streets. I was aware of the birds, the grass, the trees, the air. Then I went into the spaceship and met a being who telepathically communicated to me that I was to continue to lay my hands on the people, which is very interesting, because actually at this point I am doing much more healing work through the radio than I am doing through one-on-one sessions.
Right.
And there was a big room where I saw there's about 36 people in the room. Some of the people I recognized through like Abraham Hicks and other, the Kryon channeling that I went to, and what, you know, I recognized people who were on the path. Not everybody, but some of them. And then I don't remember what happened after that, but when I woke up, meaning became back in this level of consciousness, there was a density around my body that was, I mean, the best way to describe it is 2,000 pounds of pressure around my entire body. And that's when the fear kicked back in again. I went, oh, my God, I'm going to be paralyzed because I chose this experience. And, you know, I just kept trying. It was like, come on, Goldie, move. Move. You can do it. And, like, after 20 minutes, I moved my pinky. And then once I moved my pinky, I recognized, oh, my God, this is the density you live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're now conscious of coming into it, recognizing how thick it is. And then, of course, inevitably, my whole body was able to move. But it was dramatic, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, it's really fascinating that you're sharing this. I've been finding just recently I have someone who's talking about, you know, creating a whole story around awakenings. And I've seen a couple of things put out there in terms of, you know, requests for people to talk about their awakenings and, you know, these spiritual moments that really awaken us.
Oh, if you want to hook me up, I would. I've shared that. That's why I was surprised. I mean, I've shared it on my radio show. I'm totally open to sharing this. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. In talking to this person, I really shared. I think it's really important for people to hear that. I mean, I think for me, I had, you know, these crazy types of experiences as well, and my first instinct was to hide them because I was pretty afraid of what they meant in a bigger picture. So when I did share it with someone, it was a big deal. It took me years to come out and talk about it. So I think it's
well, I was going to say, though, how many years ago was your, I mean, were they 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago?
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, these are all of, like, my openings as I started to be a channel. So, yeah, about 12 years ago, and it was very different back then, you know?
It really was, and I know people are like, oh, it's only 12 years. It's like, oh, my, the leaps and bounds we have come in just since 2005.
Yeah, very much so. I remember even the spiritual bookshop that I was going to. So there were tarot cards there. They were still pretty unfamiliar with mediumship, and as I was bringing my experiences to them, you could see them getting frightened, and you can see my level of experiences were beyond what the staff knew how to handle. And, you know, now they have classes in mediumship.
Exactly.
But I remember, like, here is this guide I'm going to talk to, and he is looking at me like, whoa, I don't know what you're talking about. And he had just come off of a retreat, and I started to do all of the body, because part of how I experience this is through the body. I started to make all the gestures of the teacher that he had just came back from. And he's going, oh. And before you know it, I had a very bad reputation over there as being scary. I really did. People kind of looked at me strange, you know. And so I think I think the world has changed, and I think there are more and more supportive ears. There are more and more supportive places, and people have had so many of these experiences now that it's really time for everyone to kind of let them out and talk about them. Let them fly.
Yeah, I would almost go as far to say I don't believe there's anybody on the planet who has not had an experience. You know, that's why it's time to talk. It's time to bring it out of the closet because, you know, this is a global experience we're going through. The shift in consciousness, it's no longer you pick up books to know what the language is.
Right.
You pick up books to understand what you're experiencing.
What's going on? Well, I think a lot of people don't have the language for it.
I agree.
Play it off as a coincidence. So I know that I have certain family members that, you know, will do and have strange experiences. This is a great one, actually. So recently, my sister, who I'm sure she would be, she's pretty on record that she is more of the scientific mind. And so we've had this debate about what's going on with me and how she wants more proof and that it really needs to be a direct experience of hers. And, you know, from my point of view, my dad has been communicating with me for a long time on the other side. And it's been really strange lately that she has a picture of her and my mother, and it keeps on turning and facing the picture of Saint Francis. My dad's name is Francis, facing the picture of Saint Francis on the wall, and I'm like,
wow,
there's your sign. And she's like, nah, and I'm like,
yeah, well, and that's not to say that people can't deny their signs. I mean, you know, if they choose to deny it, that is absolutely free will. That's what it's all about.
It moves, and I'm like, you live alone. And she's like, yeah. So I think, you know, people have these experiences. I don't, it's just a matter of how do you frame them, where do you put them, and are we ready to look at them, you know? So
I agree. And clearly, Christina, me and you are ready to put it out there that we're not monsters. We're not, you know, I was going to say we're not weird, but it's almost that if we are weird, everybody's weird. That's the way,
right.
You know, but it's weird shouldn't be a negative anymore. Weird should really be morphing itself into, we are all unique beings with unique experiences to share. I mean, that's what the ecosystem is about. We all bring a unique awareness, but being able to communicate with the other side is not unique. It is a part of the human experience just as much as why dogs can be dropped off from their homes 400 miles from where they live and find their way home. We have the same type of homing system. We've conditioned ourselves out of it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist in our beings.
Exactly. So I think it's exciting. I think it's an exciting time right now. Even though there's a lot going on, I think it's a very exciting time.
I agree totally. Because you know what? It's so much change. I mean, so much change. I love the idea that it's no longer, you know, just, well, I don't want to talk about what it's not. I try to always stay in the affirming. For the first time in my life, I have about 320 friends on Facebook. Now, I don't have all 320 up on my wall. I mean, some are from, you know, a time gone by that, okay, be friends, but I choose not to have your stuff on my wall. But I'd say I have a good 100 people on my wall, and it's probably more, I'm just using a number, that think very similar to me. And that's not to say that, you know, I'm looking for clones of Goldie, but I mean as a level of conscious and a level of awareness, you know, knowing that death is not the end, that it's just a non-physical experience and things of that nature. And Christina, I realized this the other day that I used to dream, like daydream, about a world where people were like me. You know, I wasn't the only one, you know, in a big world that knew this stuff, because when you're the only one, it sucks. I mean, that's my experience. I did not like it when, you know, my own parents didn't understand what I was going through. You know, they didn't tell me I was an empath. I just was. But now it's like Facebook is showing me, you know, I know people from all across the world who think like me, who feel like me, who want to dance with me, and it's like this is a dream come true. I have actually lived to see the creation of my dream that I would have, you know, a whole diverse family of kooky, crazy, weird, wonderful people. And here it is. We are in 2010, and I'm experiencing it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I agree. I think it's really amazing that people – I see it all the time that wherever I go, I can make the bridge. Most times I can make the bridge on what I do, whether I'm specifically saying the word channeling or not. I can make a bridge on what I'm doing, and I can see that people want to be open to it. And I know that there are so many people that – Facebook is such a great place, and I have to say, I would have to encourage anyone that that utopian world that we're looking for, that it only gets created when people like us actually get dedicated to being open to critique in a way, because you have to put that out there. You got to share. It takes a lot of courage for me to share with my family in the beginning over and over again. This is my experience. I am having a contact. I'm talking to my passed away father. So the thing I always want to say is that, you know, it takes a lot of courage to do it, but I believe everyone that are having those experiences right now are the pioneers, that will work with people that come from small towns, that don't have these experiences, that come from a very conservative background, that maybe they work in the business world, maybe they're lawyers, maybe whatever the reason why, you know, that they live a very different life than we do, there's still that opening. It just requires someone with patience.
Absolutely.
Because what I found about this work, you need a lot of patience, right?
Well, indeed, but, you know, it's funny because patience got us here. Now what we need is truly, you know, the adventure side of us. That's what I'm feeling for myself. It's like my world can become as expanded as I want it to be.
Right.
In a way that has and it's interesting because Facebook, I really do understand the nature. Facebook is a safe space for me. It's etheric, so to speak. You know, it's still... It's not me being in the world yet.
Yeah. Right.
It is, but there is clearly still, you know, all I do is shut my computer and that whole world kind of goes away. Where I truly want to tell you that I put my jacket out over the puddle as you walk by because my time is coming. It's just I'm not quite as knowing what to do, how to do it, or even if I'm ready to do it. You're sitting at dinner tables with people now. I really do. Because now, you know, there's no delete button at the dinner table.
Yeah, well, I think it takes practice. I think it takes a big ability to look silly, to have people.
Yes.
That's why I say patience as well as feeling foolish at times. I mean, I see myself, it's funny, I just went to an all-women's, like, networking group.
Okay.
You know, they're all entrepreneurs, they're all women in this local community in Pasadena here, and they're all very lovely, they're all out of the box in that they're, you know, running their own business, doing something different, being their own boss, and, you know, here I come along as a trans channel, and I have a 60-second blurb, because that's what you get for an introduction. So 60-second blurb to describe what I am. And how I was invited to come to this group is by someone describing me as a psychic. So, you know, I have all of these bridges to get over. And I remember, let's see, it was probably 2 years ago, the first time that John took me to a networking group, and I was mortified when I had to stand up and speak and say what I did. I was like punching him under the table. I can't believe you took me here. These are all business professionals. What am I doing? And so, you know, I've seen the progress, and what it took to get there is I had to embarrass myself over and over again. I had to feel like people looked at me like I had 10 heads, you know.
Wow,
and so
Christina, this is huge. Thank you for sharing because to hear this tonight. I do.
Yeah. The message is you gotta be not good at it before you're good at it. And that's what I've been doing for years now, practicing not being good at it, stumbling. What do you do? That's what I would do.
And it's humility. Humility is such a big role in this whole flow. Oh, Christina, we got a call, and they got their hand up. Let's grab them.
All right.
Hi, Canada. Area code 604, you're on the air.
Hello, girls. How are you?
Hi.
Hey. What's this?
Well, I enjoy. My name is Charlene. I was listening, and I thought, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to call in because it sounds like you're visiting, and you know, I can certainly use the support. And since you're learning, I'm me too.
Yay! Share. Add into the conversation. We're so happy you're here.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Should I ask questions or should I just...
Sure. If you want, you're welcome to listen and join in, or you can ask a question.
Okay. Well, you know, where would I start? Okay, I'm a healer, right? I'm a light worker. I'm an energy worker. I work with intent. My whole life, and I'm a Virgo, and numerologically I'm a 3, okay?
Okay.
Are you familiar with numbers?
I know I'm a 3. I don't know what
okay.
Chris is.
I'm familiar with numbers, maybe not in the traditional form, but yes, I am.
Okay,
so.
this is Dan Millman. So I'm a 303. So it's like I'm not only a talker, I have intuitive gifts with it, along with being just me who I am. So where would I start?
Let's all take a deep breath together. Let's get synced up.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
You're most welcome. There you go.
Yeah, good advice. Okay. Direction. That's what I'm looking for, probably, of everything. Direction.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Let's throw out a couple of things. Direction in what area? So in.
Okay. I've got my own business. I have my own business, and I also I work with giving advice with people as well, and. Family, things are in transition right now, so my children are growing. I've got a 14-year-old boy as well as, you know, 2 grown girls now. So in transition, right, as your children go, it's adjusting too, because I'm one of those parents who likes being with their kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to let them go and just trust and move on, right?
Right.
So, not meaning to be vague, it's just because my daughter's sitting there and she came in the room as soon as she heard me talking. So it's like, oh. Anyway, and I know, like, I'm a square peg. There's no way that I'm an absolute anarchist. There's no way for me to fit into the mold. And I understand we're all independent. And I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe in, we're all God. We're all one, and energy attracts like matter. So we all are here to make this life and world a better place, right?
Right.
And having and being aware of that responsibility, though, with the challenges that come on in today's world and in the reality of the third dimension that we live in, but being aware of that expanded aspect. So I guess that's where I'm looking for the advice. You know, what do you pick up on direction for me?
Yeah, it's Charlie, is that right?
Charlene. It's okay.
Charlie, I love that name. It's beautiful. Well, I would start, I think you started to answer your own question, actually, in it. Because I heard you talk about trust, and I think that, you know, in these unnerving times these days, and especially being a sensitive, being someone that...
Okay, I just have to interrupt. Charlene, are you outside?
I am. I'm sorry. Is it too loud? Okay.
There's just a lot of background, and I'm thinking, I'm just going to mute you while she answers, and then when she's done answering, I'll unmute you. Because I want to make sure the other listeners can hear her answer, because a lot of time the question is very, it serves many purposes. It serves lots of people.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay, but I will unmute you as soon as Christina's finished.
Yeah, that's much better. That's the way
Okay.
No, I would say that, Charlie, it sounds like you started to already answer your question, that in terms of being sensitive, so from my point of view, sensitivity is picking up on collective, feeling other people around you, and that a lot of people are in transition. So it's interesting that your children are starting to leave, so this transitional time is what we are all in collectively. And I imagine as an intuitive, you're probably picking that up over and over again. And what happens is we tend to internalize that and take on the stuckness, because a lot of people feel stuck right now. So as a starting point, I would work with some of the protective tools of being an intuitive about how do I create sacred space around myself, because I think the word trust is an easy word to throw around. It's not so easy to actually create. And as someone who's been doing this work for a long time, I found the best way to create that sense of trust is to really work on how do I clear my own space and make sure that my worries, what's going on with me, is actually mine versus my family members, my friends, the collective society I'm in. So a starting point, I would look at what intuitive practices do you have to create sacred space or protection for yourself. And then once your Sophia works with something like a bubble, and then once you have that sacred space, once you're able to kind of push away the worries of the world for a moment, is to begin to trust your story, that your story is your advice. Your story is what's leading you, because being intuitive, you're always on the right path. Even if it feels a little off, a little stuck, you're always headed in the right direction because you made that intention before you came here. You made the intention, this is the lifetime I really want to get my dreams to become a reality. So I would say that trust is what I spent a long time learning to follow. So as a starting point, I would say what practices, so for me, I have to do energetic practices to start with. I have to return energy to source. I have to create a bubble. I then need to get silent, but then I actually need to move, because as a dancer, that's the place I trust. So I would reflect back to you, what practices do you have that you actually trust yourself? So, Goldie, I would think that your practice is going to nature, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
So, right on the nose.
So then I would say that, you know, going to nature is the thing that gets you to trust more. And in that trusting state, you start to get your answers. You start to know how to let go of your children where it feels better to you. You'll start to get all your answers when you're in trust. So, that's my starting point, and I'm happy to go back and forth. Let's see where the noise
is. Let me unmute her. No problem. No, that's beautiful. Charlene?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, you're back on. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was fabulous. That was, because that's a lot of it, actually. You hit a couple of really solid points there. Thank you.
Do you know any practices? Is there something you'd feel comfortable sharing? Like, how do you find that sense of trust?
Oh, man, and that's, I think, a lot of what's going on right now is it feels like the carpet's been pulled out, because I'll get one thing and then something comes along and just knocks you at the knees or in the solar, you know, and you just, you know, you start to get moving and challenges happen, so it's hard to focus beyond. One of the things I've got, when you were speaking that, I actually was looking at my chalkboard. A friend of mine had given me this affirmation. What have I done to honor myself today?
Oh, excellent.
Is that nice language? Yeah, that's from Heather, a friend of mine. That's beautiful. I wouldn't say I'm sloppy, and I wouldn't say that I am disrespectful to it, because my intent, I mean, my conscious walk, my conscious talk, my behavior, I work very hard at not working with a space of fear and coming from love. And with that challenge, though, I can get very insecure. Sometimes I absolutely recognize and I'm very centered, very grounded. And other times I'm very, I'm childlike. I'm absolutely childlike. It's like, oh, my God, you know, like things get thrown and I get thrown quickly. So that's, you know, how do I make that not such a problem, right?
Yeah, and also, like, so one of the things I was starting to touch upon, and maybe an affirmation is the place to start. So you talked about that affirmation. So maybe it's when I get thrown, I go back to that affirmation, which says, what have I done nice for myself today? And really say, I must choose that right now, if that's a walk. So if you don't have a practice already, which is, you know, for me, dancing or doing energy work, or for Goldie, going, that what can you do in the moment to say, maybe I don't need a long-standing practice. Maybe I just need a moment, where I connect and I have a strong impression that maybe a lot of what you're picking up is still a lot of the collective. So, you know,
I share something? It's just popping in. Luminosity through authenticity.
Oh.
Because one of the things that I understand, for me, like Sophia was saying, or Christina, sorry, I get safety in the woods, but I really do understand that if you ask most people, they get safety in a mall. I'm petrified in a mall. I get safety around bugs and dirt and, you know, potential you know, where most people think of the woods because of all the movies, that's where all the people are going to come and slash my throat and, you know, hunt me down with the witch hunt or whatever. But see, my authenticity tells me that's just not my truth. My truth is I need the no electricity. I need, personally, no people. I need nature. I need animals. And I need the dirt. So you want to be authentic with yourself where you find this place of trust, even if it's at a place when everybody's going to go, oh, you can't be there because blah, 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 blah. But it would be there for you.
I love that statement of I need, because I think that does start to hit upon what we're talking about here. What do you need as a sensitive? So for me, I need to clear energy. For Goldie, she needs to go to the woods. So I love that statement of what do I need? Maybe that's a starting point of starting to address your basic needs as a sensitive, because I don't think we do that very often. I think we think that this idea of unconditional love, and it's a beautiful one, that that's going to serve us all the time. And I think we actually need, I love the word need here, we need practices mm-hmm. that allow us to say that idea alone doesn't get us there. The idea of being in our hearts doesn't get us there. For me, I have to do these steps in order to get myself there. So I think what we're both trying to say in one way or another is, how do you look at your needs as a sensitive? And they're so important to put forward, to put in front of everything else. That's what I've spent my life, well, most of my life, trying to figure out how to do, how to put my needs as a sensitive right up front. And, you know, I'm just grateful that I have, you know, people around me that get that now, that, you know, when I'm saying, I need a hat and everything has to stop until I get a hat, it's a need of mine, that's what I follow through on. So I think if that makes sense, to look for what do you need as a sensitive, because maybe that is the sensitivity part that seems to be standing in the way at the moment. Is she still there?
Yeah. I'm just listening. I'm trying to be quiet.
How do you feel about that?
I keep going to breath, you know. I think just because the way and who I am. I mean, I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, when I got laid off and I began my business and then I had to move, I was like, oh my God, you know, where's the money going to come from? Well, somebody came to my door and offered me a job. And it was, you know, and then it was like, okay, when I move, I want to be on a street that's quiet. I want land. I need trees around me because I'm a vegetarian. I'm very earthy. My business is a water company, and I'm a health conscious healer. You know, I walk with the intent, and I alter energy, and we all do. But I understand that I do, and I understand that I draw people to me, right? So, anyway, and also somewhat like Forrest Gump, because all that we do, we always bring people to us.
Of course.
You know, there's a mirror for each of us that come, but we also,
yeah.
Everything happens for a reason, right? So that being said, so I get this, I wind up on a street that there's only three houses on, rains come along, and they close it off, so I actually get a cul-de-sac, because I wanted a cul-de-sac. And then I thought, shit, I'm being a little inconvenient here, because I'm shit making everybody else suffer, because it was a busy street. So we got to be careful what we ask for, right? So, and then, you know, there's other times where it's like, oh, I wish someone would take this car. And somebody comes along, they try and steal the car. I'm like, okay, I wasn't quite meaning it that way. So I get lost, though, in my own drama. You know, I have to be careful of, you know, and I'm not trying to be so egocentric and just speaking of, but I know that I'm a meter as well for what other people are experiencing. So breathing, grounding, connecting with nature, people. I'm not so concerned about a protective dome, but I also have to be mindful that I don't have leaks are probably something that resonates for me. I don't want to be so that I'm drained and depleted of my own authenticity, right? Because that's easy to do when you get worn, right?
Yes. Hello, my friends. It is Sophia. Lovely to join the conversation, yes?
Yes, welcome, Sophia.
Add in here. So, sister, hello. How are you today? Are you enjoying this dialogue on air? Yes.
Me or?
Yes.
Yes, I'll call a guest. Hello, my friend.
The caller. Yes, Charlene. She's speaking with you. Please. Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Good. Do you mind if I join the conversation?
Oh, you're invited.
I'm honored. Thank you.
Good, beloved. All right. So, what I want to start with.
Okay. Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
What did you say, beloved?
I said I feel you. Thank you.
Yes. You do. You feel a lot. So what I'm going to say, I'm going to ask everyone to buckle their seatbelts. So, Pauline, I want you to buckle the metaphoric seatbelt, okay?
All right.
You ready? We're about to go on a little roller coaster ride. So here we go. All right. To begin with, I want to really honor the conversation between such powerful women today. And I want to say that your instinct to call in, to be vulnerable on air, and not vulnerable at the same time, for you're sharing powerful information, is very aligned with your bigger messages here, which is part of your story is to share your story. So you align with the conversation that Goldie and Christina have already been having, which it takes courage to go out there to share our story. A lot of what you're running up against right now is the challenges of being sensitive. So I am going to say trust is important, yet before we can continue that journey of trust, until we can follow it over and over again, our bodies, our emotional bodies, right, our physical bodies, our mental bodies need to know that as someone that's so connected, all of you beings are so connected, that you also know how to disconnect. Because disconnecting, getting into the I versus the we, is why you have come here. So what I'm going to say to both of you right now, Goldie, you're included, right?
Okay.
Of the ones that love the earth, that's so connected to that realm, the water energy, those that are almost the fairy types, yes, you have a very hard time with the idea of protection, saying no and turning things off. That's one of the major issues, because your sensitivity has to be managed just like any other skill in the world. So let's say that some of the challenges you have is that your sensitivity isn't managed in the way that serves you. It's managed in the way that serves the collective. Are you following me thus far?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Goldie, you following me? Yes?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Yes. Oh, let's laugh, little sister. Oh, I'm sensitive again. Right. So, Charlene, you are a very gentle one and really open your arms in terms of healing the earth. But the whole point here is to heal thyself first. So instead of imagining that your, let's say, leaks are you leaking out into the world, I'm going to say that those holes are other energies leaking into your field, causing you uncomfortability, causing you to distrust what you already know. You share a story. I'm looking for this, and it shows up. I say this, and it happens. It is the distrust of the collective that is getting in your mind that you're believing is your own. Trust is what you are looking for here, yet the way to trust is to plug up our field, is to say, I need a sacred I space. And in that space, only my information is relevant. I don't have to care for the world. And as your children are growing older, I trust in my children. I don't have to always take on everything that's going on with them and with the entire world around you. Your gift is your curse, beloved. Your big heart tends to be your curse at times. Does this make sense, my friend?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, the paradox.
Exactly.
And sometimes a being like myself has to get in there and say to gentle-hearted ones like the two of you, come on, let's get less gentle here. Let's go over some bumps and realize that someone like you needs protection. You do, from my perspective, need protection. It's like putting a gentle flower in a field where the football team is stampeding, right? Mm. If there is not some sort of protective bubble around it that actually trips a player every time their foot goes to go and land on that spot, right? You're going to get trampled. that flower is going to get crushed. And right now, my friends, there are football teams running around the field, right? There are football teams everywhere ready to crush little delicate flowers like the two of you. And that is collective. That football team is a collective angst that is going on. People are running around a little mad, a little crazy, a little trying to figure out, what's all these shifts? What's all these changes? Why do I feel so much? My rational mind can't figure things out anymore because I have all these intense feelings. So the lesson for right now is to learn protection and to understand that it's an essential part of your journey. You would not put a gentle little child out there in that stampeding football team. So I say to you, sometimes the two of you are childlike in nature that you want to try and solve, right, the football team. You just let the stampede go by and you blow them kisses from behind, right, as they're going their ways. You bless them, right? We don't stop the stampede. We let it run its course. So to both of you, let the earth run its course. Let people run their course and make sure your delicate flowerness, your beauty, your essence doesn't get stepped on. Uh-oh.
Mm.
Whew, it's warm in here.
Welcome to Third Thursdays, my friends. Charlene, we actually have another caller, so
Well, girls, thank you. Thank you for your time. And so.
No, and I don't want you to rush off. I want you to feel good about this conversation. This is, I mean, we have another hour and 8 minutes. I just want Sophia to be aware that we do have somebody else waiting, so that's all. That's all.
Go ahead. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, beloved. It's lovely to spend time with you. One final thing, Goldie, before we go, right?
Okay.
So some tool that I can offer to you is that your gentle voice is very reflective of your gentle nature. In regards to working with protection, we need a stronger force. So I'm going to ask you to work with your tone in terms of saying, yes, I do need protection. So let me ask you before we go, how do you feel now about protection? Do you still resist the idea? And it's okay if you do.
You know something, that was a beautiful point about putting a flower in a stampede. That's
good. And
yeah.
Goldie noticed the shift in her voice right there, right?
Absolutely.
Good. This is the voice that's required, right? So are you going to take on this task? Because I'm actually going to give you the task now of figuring out protection. Are you up to the task at hand?
Oh, it's not going to be a Zen thing. I'm not going to be given more challenges to understand the protection, am I? I can
all
just protect me. Yeah.
All you need to know is that you are a delicate flower, right? And figure out a way that you protect that flower, right? So it's really important that you understand I must utilize protection. So there are tools that I have worked with in the past that are called bubbles. For you, I would work with steel bubbles, bubbles with electric cages, right? I would work with anything of force. I would call in Archangel Michael. I would work with force because gentleness doesn't work. When you're protecting a gentle flower, you don't say, don't disturb the gentle flower. You have someone in there going, step away, stand back, stampede, move away, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be strong in order to protect that flower. So you have to be the flower and the strength at the same time. So my task to you is to develop those muscles of what we call psychic protection, and it's valuable. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
good
is.
Good, beloved. Thank you for joining us today. We're excited for you to head down this journey. And listen back to this recording. You're going to hear a lot of different things inside of it that's going to really answer that uncomfortableness. That the reason I'm calling is for advice. There's a part of me that's uncomfortable. Many of your answers are here, because you called, you actively engaged, you said, let me have a conversation, let me dialogue. That's just like dialoguing with yourself when you're dialoguing with like-minded beings. Make sense?
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Namaste for now, yes?
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Namaste. Okay.
Goldie, so
we actually have two more callers. Yes, it's a caller night. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, the next caller I'm bringing up is on Skype, so I don't know where you're from, but you've had your hand up for a while. You're on the air with Christina, with Sophia.
Sophia and Christina, good afternoon, good evening, beautiful ladies. How are you?
Hello, my friend. Lovely to be with you. What's your name?
My name is Shannon, and I am calling from Pennsylvania.
Grand. What's going on with you, Shannon? What would you like to share tonight? What would you like a little bit of guidance?
I'm just blurting it out there. I am absolutely in love with a wonderful, adorable, sweet, gentle, amazing man. However,
yes.
We've had a little bit of a miscommunication, and I'm not too happy about what I said. Could you give me some insight here? Because I think that the issue is that he is, I think I know what the issue is. I think that he's afraid. I do. I really do. And I think that he's worth absolutely every obstacle that I have gone through.
Good. So let's talk about, right? So let's talk about your absolute sincere love. Feel how you described your love for this man right away. This is flattery for any man right away. Most men would fall to the ground. Wow, right? Someone loves me that much. So we have two types of men, one that would fall to the ground and one that would go running, right? And we get all
there
the
dust. There you go. He would be number two.
So for the moment, Goldie, let's you and I faint on the ground like, oh, the flattery here, the love here, right?
Indeed, indeed.
You're going to be the first man, whew, and say, beloved, your love is very big. It's very full. It is very intense. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, and that's a good quality, not a bad one. So we're going to realize that when we get into arguments, when we create what we would call havoc here, when we create an argument, something happens and havoc is created, we're creating it to get some answers. We are creating the disharmony in order to truly get to harmony. So what you were doing in the creation of saying some things, you were looking to see where is this gentleman on the scale of the ability to be present with me, to be present with my fullness, which includes I'm someone that loves big. So you're talking to, yes, a woman who loves big. Goldie here is someone who loves big. So we are very familiar with the path of loving big. Yet you have to also understand that that tends to be a challenge because loving big scares the crap out of most people, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So we got a little bit of nervous knees going on, a little bit of running out. And what we do as strong women who love deeply, we understand that not everyone can take in our love all at once. And that's okay. There are going to be people that run from us, and we wait. We give our truth to them, maybe not the full-blown truth when someone runs away. We pare it down a little bit. We chat about what unfolded and said, I am open. I would love for you to return to my life, that I have a dial that I can turn down. I don't want to keep it turned down forever. I want to be able to turn it on and to be at full blast eventually. But in all relationships, there is that ability to give someone permission when they can't take bright light. It's like your beautiful man needs some sunglasses right now. He doesn't have any, so he's backing away. So what I'm going to say to you is give this man the ability to put sunglasses on and walk towards you, and don't feel like that is a disappointment, that someone needs sunglasses. Because women like the four of us here right now, we need to give people permission to wear glasses when we're around, right?
Okay. That's another thing. I guess I'm really worried because I didn't know if he was going to step back into my life after what I had said.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, his name is Justin, and he's, like, amazing. He's just
good.
Amazing.
Good. So trust that what you are here to do is speak your truth, right? And if Justin has the ability, he will step back in with you. And if he doesn't, that's okay. That's a signal that you are looking for relationships that can equal in your intensity, right? So am I going to predict whether Justin is coming back to you? No, beloved, that's not what I do, right? I don't predict futures here. But what I will say is this is your test. This is your challenge to speak your truth and to give someone the ability to come back and come back a little hesitant, because we realize that you're intense. And that intensity is a good thing, yet you have to give permission for other people to not be that intense. And that's okay. Eventually, those that have huge hearts evoke huge hearts from other people when we have patience. When we have patience and trust that not everyone flings that heart door open as quickly and easily as all the women on this stage do tonight. Does that
indeed
make sense, my friend?
I'm sorry, but there's this pull to him. I mean, I know that he is not the only man out there, but there is something about him that is just, it is a huge pull for me. It's something that I've never, ever felt before.
Yes, well, let's talk about that. Very good. Now, this is a very interesting conversation. So what I'm going to do, beloved, is say thank you so much for calling. What we're going to do is talk about this in a bigger perspective, because that pull is very important for many people to understand. So, beloved, thank you so much for calling. We're going to wish you all the luck with Justin. And as we continue to talk, I want you to track what happens when you hear me talk about this pull. What do you think about it? And just keep track of that, because the pull is not always exactly what we think it is. So thank you for joining us tonight, yes? Keep on
okay. Listening,
though. All right? Keep listening, because I'm going to be talking to you, but a whole bunch of people as well. Thanks, beloved.
Thank you.
Good. Namaste. All right, Goldie, I'm going to have this quick conversation, and then we'll move on to the next caller, okay?
Okay, so we are complete for now with this caller, though.
I am going to answer this question about I'm pulled, because that's actually a question, whether she realizes it or not. Why am I so pulled or drawn
okay.
to this man? I'm going to answer that question quickly, okay?
Okay.
All right, as we are awakened ones, as we open our hearts, as we get more vulnerable to these bigger experiences in the world, we find that we recognize people. We begin to recognize that we have known people or we know them, and we recognize that we have loved people deeply from many different experiences, not just from this time frame. So this is when I get a little esoteric there for anyone listening for the first time, that we live more than one life, right? We live many lives. Now, there's a lot of information. People can go and look this up, but there is a lot of documentation these days that have proved past lives actually do exist. So I'm going to put that on the table, and I'm going to assume that we're going to embrace that concept. So I'm going to say that we live many lives, and in those lives, we love many different people, and certain people we have chosen to live within many different scenarios, so we tend to get drawn to them over and over and over again. Does that mean that that's our ultimate love? Not necessarily. That means that we have loved that person over and over again. And there are many people like that. So the more that we begin to awaken, we're going to find that we're drawn to friends, we're drawn to people all over, and this bursting of love shows up. And sometimes we don't discriminate. We don't recognize, is this love coming from a past love or is it coming from a now love? A lot of times that person may show up, and this is not the case with the beautiful being that called, right? But sometimes that being that we feel that we love, well, they're not so evolved this time around. They don't have all the same qualities that they used to, but we feel pulled towards them. We feel drawn towards them, and we love them anyways. So what I'm going to say to everyone is, when you're drawn towards someone, ask, what is this about? Where is it from? And how do I get on to the page now? How do I get on this current life I am living? And I begin to release that pull of old, of recognize them from the past and pass, and let me develop a new relationship, because that's why you came here, is to have the whole experience anew. So when we are pulled to people, it's because they're a part of what I would call our soul family. And just because someone's in their soul family, in your soul family, doesn't mean you have to be friends with them forever. Doesn't mean that they are destined to be your partner forever. It just means that you trust them. So this being you trust because you have had all these different experiences. So when we're pulled, at a soul level, you trust them. That's the message. At a soul level, I trust. Yet that doesn't keep us from getting hurt, because usually those that we trust the most, we give the hard tasks of creating some havoc, right? Of the hard tasks of hurting us. You recognize this, Goldie, right?
Completely. And like you said, the one that I was drawn to was not evolved, and you know, it broke my heart.
Yeah.
But I recognize, because my wisdom with the one I was drawn to was that he was showing me what not loving self looked like.
Yes.
But I was drawn to it, and I had to come to that conclusion before I stopped being drawn to. In other words, like you said, I went in that knowledge or that wisdom of knowing, I expanded beyond it. And no longer needed to save him, I could simply accept that he's not evolved and I can move on.
Exactly. So this conversation that you and I are having are going to apply to a lot of awakened intuitives already that are very,
yes,
very familiar with the story that I'm telling. So our last caller, when you first awaken to sensitivity, it almost feels like infatuation, right? We're drawn to someone. We sense, we can feel them. We have intuitive knowingness. They're going to call. They call. It feels like destiny, right? It feels so huge. So we're not going to downplay that. We're going to say that this is a part of an awakening, and that you have these skills with a lot of people, that you have the ability to love that's beyond the whoa factor. This man is so amazing. You have that with many people. So we're going to say our first awakenings are intense, and whoever happens to be around us at the time, whoa, right?
Indeed.
And I say that from the channel story as well, for she can tell a very particular story at the same time, this infatuation taking her over, and it was all about having psychic experiences with someone for the first time, where you define that as destiny. Oh my God, it's meant to be. Right? And as you dive into it further, you find out that this is a skill that you have with this person, with that person, with this person, with that person, and eventually that infatuation begins to balance itself with the reality that this is just an intuitive awakening. So the reason I hung up with the Kala is because that's what happens in awakenings. It's intense, and it's hard to break that because you're in a process of awakening. So we're going to recognize that awakening is one of the themes tonight, and that there are challenges in awakenings, that we feel things that we believe are completely true when they're just a part of the bigger reality going on, us awakening to the bigger reality that we love a lot of people, we're part of soul families, we've had many experiences, and that's intense, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good. All right.
An exquisite insight, Sophia, exquisite.
Good. All right, so
yeah.
Let's move on to the other caller who has been patiently waiting, yeah?
All right. Area code 765, you're on the air.
Good evening. Namaste.
No?
Hello, my friend.
How are you, dear one?
Good. Share with everyone your name and your story, my friend.
My name is Brian. I'm calling from Indiana. How are you, Sophia?
I am lovely, and we're loving your voice, Brian.
Thank you, dear.
Yes.
Well, I heard some women come on the phone before this, and I was, well, you know, we need to get some of the masculine energy in here, so I just decided to call.
Good, lovely. Anything you'd like to add to the conversation? Anything you would like a little guidance on?
Well, of lately here, I've been feeling a lot of spinning sensation, and I used to get dizzy, kind of nauseated from it, but now I'm feeling that it's not, I don't feel that really anymore. And I'm wondering, this energy around me, what's going on with me, Sophia?
Good. So Brian, Goldie, Brian, both experiencing.
Hello, Goldie.
I've been having. I was speaking with Christina before the show. I have vertigo. But I am absolutely nauseous from it. But it, mine just like kicked up, like big time within the last like week. So please,
yes.
Sophia, I'm very interested in this answer and how divine that that you are asking of this. Yeah.
How divine, bringing it forward. Okay, so I'm going to say dizziness is going to be common for those beings that are light workers right now. So you understand the phrase light worker, do you, Brian?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay, so for anyone that doesn't understand the phrase light worker, I'm going to give a little brief overview. A light worker is someone that was born with the lights on already, that has always made that quest for what's my purpose, been driven, how do I help humanity, what can I do to help? Usually light workers say, how do I help people? So that's an indicator of a light worker. You come with the lights on in that you are wanting for humanity to get more connected, more peaceful, more enlightened, right? Light-end. Notice the word light again, enlightened. So that light workers are challenged during crucial times when a lightening is happening. So before something gets light, so let's imagine we're carrying a backpack for a long time and we take it off. Whoa, the sensation that our shoulders lift up. Wow. So what happens with light workers is they go into future moments. They feel the future moment of people being able, so listen to the word, being able to take off their backpacks right now. So let's say from a bigger perspective is that there has been a shift that's going to allow people to take off their backpacks and not deal with the collective story of humanity. So let's say people in small little towns everywhere, people in cities, those that are considered asleep, they are given right now an opportunity to take off their backpack, to look at what's inside and start processing it before they have to deal with starting to connect with the collective. Does this make sense? Are you both following me?
Yes, yes.
Following
I am the story? Okay,
yeah.
So the story thus far says that the world has just been given permission to look inside of their backpacks. Now, for intuitives like the two of you, for light workers, okay, everyone taking off their baggage at once, right, and looking into their bag, oh, man, that's terrifying, right? So in some ways, what's happening, so follow the analogy first, and then we're going to talk about other things, but you're walking around and going, oh, my God, that person's backpack was off. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, and you're looking everywhere, and you keep on turning yourself in circles, because everywhere you go, you recognize that people's backpacks are on the ground. They're not actually not on their backs anymore. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's really becoming the observer. Looking
yeah,
through the
exactly.
perspective of the observer.
Yeah.
I'm really starting to, wow, I feel so happy that this weight has come off, you know, for, you know, choosing in the moment to allow that. And I get a joy to see the common person of humanity actually taking their backpack off. It feels so wonderful.
Exactly. Yet the two of you are spinning in circles by trying to look around because you're testing the theory, right? You're walking into a new group. So you can imagine this, Goldie, because you're someone that is very curious about all humanity, as you talked about Facebook today. So every room you're walking into, do they have their backpack? Do they?
It's so me. You're definitely describing me. Definitely. Yes. Yes.
I applaud Goldie for her vulnerability, for allowing herself to become vulnerable, because I sense that in her too, Sophia.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, it's something she does really well on air that allows people to be more vulnerable. So let me give both of you a tool, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the tool right now is, first of all, many people are feeling dizzy. They are intuitives or light workers who have a very strong, compelling feeling of, I gotta help the earth. So what the first part of being dizzy is that you want to share with other people that feel like they need to help the earth, that they got to help people. So anytime you run into someone that says, oh, yeah, I want to help people, you want to say, because what happens is you're the first wave, right? You want to say, oh, it might get a little dizzy lately, right? Because there's a lot going on. So I'm giving you the clear description of what's going on, and I'm going to give you the description you give to others, okay? So part of this is you teaching people that when you feel collective making a shift, a lot of people get dizzy. So what you want to teach is there is a shift going on right now where people are becoming conscious. In that process, what happens is people like us, sensitive people, want to go out there and help. And it's like we're running around trying to help everyone, and we're running in circles because there's too many people to help. We're running in circles. Do you see what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Okay, so you want to start to teach this language to people. The reason you're having these experiences now is to teach people that instead of running around and helping people, sit down and get grounded. Now, for the two of you, grounded is not going to solve everything, but it's the message that everyone else that's awakening behind you needs to hear. Sit down and work on the feet and the spine, bringing all of the feeling down through the body. Because these helper people, like Goldie, you used to really exist in the up, 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 up all the time, right?
Yes, you can hear it in her voice, definitely.
Yes.
It's true.
So what,
very true. Yeah.
What I'm giving both of you is the teachings right now, because both of you are teachers. And so I'm giving you the teachings that you're experiencing dizziness so you can help people with dizziness. That is your answer, right?
So the awakeness, the awareness comes in their own time and how they perceive it, I understand. It's individuality,
exactly.
Yes.
But listen, mentioned also that you're being dizzy right now to help other people who are going to become dizzy. So go back to the metaphor where you're looking around and seeing all of the backpacks. So let me go back. All of the backpacks coming off hasn't exactly happened yet. It's about to happen soon. You're going to the future, which the two of you do. You jump to the future because you want to not be dizzy then, because everyone else is going to be dizzy then. So you're dizzy now to understand the lesson so that you teach people then, right?
So it's just being prepared, yes.
You're preparing yourself, right?
Yeah.
Good. Does this make sense, Goldie?
Oh, my God. Tremendously so. Yes. Yeah.
So what you want to say, right, you want to say, hey, I get it. So, Goldie, you've been having this experience for 20 years. Now, for you, there are other things going on that have to do with balance, core and balance, okay? So having a 20-year period with this dizziness is beyond this message. This is part of the message that you will teach people about dizziness, but some of it is about building up your core strength, right?
Okay.
And you want to check in with your ears. So the balance. So there is a balance. It's an energetic thing, but it's a balance thing. So you want to really look at how do I develop the strength in my core and have your ears just looked at. Not that there's something wrong with your ears, but just by focusing on your ears, you're going to start getting your answers.
Okay.
Right?
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I just want to add that I think I just said like a week ago to a friend of mine, hey, you know, I didn't get any vertigo, and I haven't had vertigo, you know, like at one point it came every year in the change of seasons, March and September. And then for, you know, a few years, especially recently, it would come anytime it wanted to come, but it just stopped coming altogether. In other words, I was not getting the vertigo. And then, you know, 5 days ago, I got walloped, like, you know, this. So I really do think that this particular round is indeed the going into the future, and I really do, because it's at a different intensity, and it really has not been happening for a while. I mean, because there was one point where I was spinning, and I actually, instead of my visual seeing it as, you know, my eyes seeing going round and round and round, I popped out of that and actually was watching a tornado-like experience from my inner being. So I popped beyond the spin so that I could observe it.
Good, good. So here's the reality here, and I want, Brian, you to hear this as well, is that one thing that's important is beyond seeing the future and teaching, right? Anytime we have experiences of dizziness, we want to look into our core. Because our core, when our core goes out of balance, so Goldie, this comes forward for you to re-recognize the message of core. So yes, there is the teaching aspect to it, and that's extremely important. But what is also important is your story with this. And
indeed,
the story reminds me to reflect back to you of studying that core, building that core muscle. For you, Brian, how does that translate in core? When I say build your core, how do you translate that?
I see it as bringing light and dark into a balance.
Good.
And not, and just staying focused with it and not judging it and allowing others to have their say-so and respect their choices.
Good. So you're talking the metaphoric core. So I'm going to talk about the physical core for
the
both of you.
The physical core, the shaking of the body into balance, I guess.
Core strength comes from balance. Okay, so I'm actually talking about physical. Both of you are talking about energetic stuff here.
Okay, I'm talking
about physical core inside of the body. So the message to both of you is, how do you work on core strength? So there is a whole bunch of activities in the world that are going to be built on building your core strength, not lifting muscles on your extremities, right? So it's not about how much pull-ups can I do, right? What can I do with my arms or my legs? This is about the core strength. Are you both hearing me?
Well, I'm hearing you, but so if it's not about lifting weights, how would I strengthen the core?
So you want to begin talking to people around you. So there are lots of different things like Pilates. There are a lot of different activities. Doesn't mean just because I mention one that's going to connect with you.
Okay,
you
okay.
Talk, just like you did the last time when we were talking about finances, you went, aha, I know someone. You want to start chatting with people around you. I need to build my core strength. Anyone have recommendations? And you're going to find a practice that serves you.
Okay, okay.
Sophia,
yeah,
yoga
is coming up for me. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, and mine is rebounding. I bought a trampoline here to jump up and down on to rebound, to shake the cells of the body.
Nice.
So I was thinking something like that.
That is a start, okay? So a core building, you want your feet on the ground. So when you're jumping, you're going to learn stability up in the air because you're an air-based person, right? You're up there.
Yes.
You're very up there, Brian, right? So
she has a way of going straight to who you are.
No,
you know, just
I,
Sophia.
I know.
Indeed.
Well.
Okay.
Thank you, Sophia.
So we got to get your feet on the ground, beloved. So for yoga, again,
yes.
You want to look, you're going to find martial arts that build the core. So how do I get my feet on the ground and build my core? And again, guess what? This is a teaching. This eventually will be a teaching, yet this is a current one. You actually got to practice now. Because eventually grounding, you want to eventually show people that through the center, finding the core of your body. Most people, when they think about strength, they think about arms and legs. That's not core strength. So
the core of the heart and mind as one.
It's in the belly, it's in the abdominal muscles, it's in
the
chest,
the chakras,
it's in alignment, right?
Lower back, is lower back also part of core?
It's all part of alignment. So core comes from the spine, right? It's proper alignment. It's being aligned properly, not just from a chakra point of view. Now, chakras will throw our bodies out. It's actually a physical alignment.
Okay.
Right? So it's posture-based, right?
That's definitely my issue. I know that's
getting,
my issue.
So putting on walking shoes also that are comfortable to the feet.
Exactly.
And just added to align the body to help. Yes, I understand.
Exactly.
Yeah, stop putting on those high heel, Brian. It's making you lose your core. Sorry.
Good.
That's
both
wonderful.
Both of you are high up there. You're wearing high heels and stilts all the time, right?
That's true. Yeah, we got to come. Well, I mean, I certainly have come down since I've started visiting the forest. But, you know, it's funny because, Sophia, once again, just last week, I had my back will go to the point, like a couple of years ago, in a drunken stupor, I lifted somebody up on my back and just messed it up really bad. I never went to a doctor. It ended up healing. But since that time, it's like I'm extraordinarily sensitive. Like if, you know, I'm holding one of the kids or if I start turning the wrong way, it's like, whoa, don't do that, Goldie. Don't do that because my back is now, it has a weak spot. And my boss just said to me the same exact word. She goes, you got to build your core up. I mean, it's like, you know, Sophia, you are forever doing the synchronicity with dance with me. And then as soon as you talked about martial arts, Tai Chi immediately came into my head as something that I did it once before and I was too insecure to be a part of a group. I was insecure about taking off my shoes, you know. I think about that now going, God, how ridiculous is that?
Well,
but that's where I was.
I'm sure you're lovely, Goldie.
Yeah, no, they are. I don't, you know, it was where I was at. And so, but now I'm like, I'm going to look into, I am going to start taking Tai Chi classes. I love it. I love that because I want to build my core. I mean, from so many levels, clearly not to be dizzy anymore. That is, you know, I would love not to be dizzy, but I think this will help us on more levels than just the physical. This is, you know, the core will connect us into the expansion and help us walk gracefully in that space as well. Well, am I correct in that assumption?
The core connects us to the core, right? So as you get to the core body, you get to the core of things. You get to the middle of things. You get into a natural state of balance and alignment. It's one thing that working physically with your body around a concept is a really wonderful way to begin to bring yourself into balance more, bring your body into alignment, and your life will come into alignment, right?
Absolutely. I love when you're on the show, Sophia. Go,
Sophia, Brad. I had just one quick last question. I've always, ever since I was young, I've always loved the color blue. The color blue is like the cobalt blue is my favorite color. And I was wondering, I mean, everywhere I just feel this blueness, you know what I mean? This energy.
Yes.
What is that going around with me?
Good. Well, it is an activation of water, but as well as the throat chakra. It's about you speaking.
Yeah.
It's about your ability to be a teacher, to be out there speaking about your experiences, and to work with that flow. So blue is about healing and flow. So most people, when they think about healing, if you said to someone, I want to heal my back pain, we get all intense. Yes, focus light, let's heal, right?
So we
go opposite of the reality of healing. Healing likes to be gentle and go with the flow. So we have a back issue, we imagine slow, flowing energy to move through it, not heal, 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 right?
So you're obsessed
with blue because you're trying to move beyond that impatience part of yourself, right? Goldie, hello, right?
Yes, indeed, indeed.
And I want to hurry everything up.
She gets me straight to the core, too, boy. God bless her.
Blue is mellow. Blue takes its time. Blue is on its own path. The water creates its own path, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's forced to another path. But water creates its own path naturally. It doesn't go where people want it to go. It goes with its own rhythm. So why you're obsessed with blue is you're obsessed with finding your own rhythm and also reflecting to yourself how to speak, how to be that speaker that you are.
Yes, yes. You can sense that in me. Yes, thank you, dear one. Yes, it feels so good to hear your voice again, Sophia.
Pleasure. Thank you for joining the conversation today.
Thank you, and thank you, and God bless, Goldie, on your path out here.
Namaste, Brian. Come back again.
I will. Namaste. Bye-bye.
Namaste. Wow.
Band.
It's a good night, yeah. It's so funny how me and Christina said, hey, let's get the callers involved, and there it is. I love it. Yes.
Great. All right, so let's move on. Can we move on? And if
of course. Sure. Sure, sure. Where would you like to go?
Good. So in this idea of sensitivity, okay, so that people are awakening, we want to begin to look at how, let's say light workers are those that have been having these experiences for a long time. So it's second nature. So what I want to talk about tonight is the fact that just because it's second nature to you, let's not forget your very first moment where you started to get conscious. Oh, wow. So the experience you talked about tonight, seeing, going the outer body experience, connecting with a being of light and having this experience, that wow experience, that intensity and that continual back and forth with fear, that's what's about to happen to a whole bunch of people at once. Right?
Indeed. That's kind of wild, wildly excited.
It's exciting, yet at the same time, you can see why everyone is resistant to people like you, right?
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Christina, people like Brian, because we're a little worried, right? Yet at this stage of the game, let's say that everyone has agreed to have a form of some type of awakening. So we must have infinite patience. So I want to go back and speak on how wise Christina is in using the word patience. We must have infinite patience on the level of fear that the collective must be going through right now, right?
Indeed, indeed.
Imagine having a backpack that you don't even realize is a backpack and it's filled with all your stuff. So imagine all the businessmen out there, right? Mm. Imagine that they have been stuffing their backpack for a long time, right? They don't even think there's a backpack there. Can you imagine what it's like to all of those Wall Street men all at once getting their backpack chucked in their face, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they got to pull stuff out in the public's eye. Whoa, whoa. So we've seen that in Wall Street. We are going to see that in politics. We're going to see that over and over again, where people are having to look inside of their backpacks, and they have done a really good job throughout this entire life to lock that away. They have put locks on it. They have, right, they try to think that it's not on their back, so they do things like sinking it down in the ocean. They put locks over it, chains on it, right? They
indeed
drink too much. They do anything they can to keep it locked away. So as light workers, it is, I will say, our jobs. Now, take this loosely, because it's not a hard job. It's our job to give people the permission to be scared, excuse the language, shitless, right?
Okay.
Okay, pardon me. Thank goodness we're on the internet.
No, you're beautiful. Yes. Speak your truth and keep it colorful. It's all good.
Okay, so let's give the world permission, and every time someone resists us as we tell our story, as we reveal, oh, I work in the intuitive field, and someone clamps all down and looks at you strange, remember, they're worried about their backpack. They're not really thinking I'm strange. They're pretty worried that the stuff in their backpack is gonna be very strange. So they put that strangeness out on me because they're worried, right?
Indeed, indeed.
So here is the message for tonight, everyone. The world is kind of shaking in its boots right now. It's a little bit worried about the shadow material. So instead of you being worried about your shadow material, because all of you light workers think this is yours right now, oh, Sophia, the shadow is getting my attention. Oh, Sophia, I say to you, the shadow is getting everyone else's attention. And they are afraid, and that is okay. Let them be afraid. Trust, my friends out there, trust that you've done your shadow dance. You're friends with your shadow. Your shadow's not a boogie monster, but their shadow is a boogie monster, and it will stay a boogie monster until someone is not afraid of their boogie monster. So, my friends, let's not be afraid of the boogie monsters, right? Good.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So what we're going to do as a practice right now, because this is going to tie back into last month, which is the month of abundance and the whole conversation we had, we're not going to be afraid of Wall Street's boogie monsters, okay? We're going to look at what happened as their boogie monsters coming out of the closet, and we're going to be compassionate for all those people. We're going to say how terrible that must have been to have all these ideas about money and greed and all of this stuff and now being forced to look at it in the public's eye. So not yay to all those Wall Street people that are getting slapped and thrown in prison and good for you for being greedy. Let's look at greed as a particular boogie monster that we're making friends with, we're saying hello to, and instead of judging the people that are being present with the boogie monster that is greed, let's understand that greed needs our love just like every other boogie monster, right?
Okay, okay.
So how do you feel when I say love the Wall Street man?
I will be honest, you know, Goldie's always going to be honest.
Yes.
there is a part of me that wants them to experience what greed is. But on that same note, when they're humbly on their knees, if they ask for help, I will absolutely, you know, extend my hand to help them up. Because for me,
what if they don't ask for help? What if they still want to dance with their boogeyman that is greed?
Well, it's very difficult for me personally, if they're in greed and not taking any responsibility for, you know, what's happening to them, which is greed to me is similar to blame and guilt and shit. You know what I mean? It's a game that I just choose not to dance in, you know, unless someone asks me for help. Pardon?
We all must dance with that particular boogeyman. We all must dance with greed at one moment. We all must dance with shame. We all must dance with guilt. On this path of being human, we must dance with every single player. Every single player out there. That's why we come, to dance with everyone, to be partners with everyone. So imagine going to a dance hall and saying, before I go, I'm going to dance with every single person here. And at the end, I am just going to dance all by myself, but I can't dance with myself until I dance with everyone. That is the journey we are on here. The journey is to dance with every aspect of humanity, and greed is one of them. Greed is one player.
But I don't like greed.
Oh, I know you don't. That's why
I don't want to dance with that. But the more I don't like it, the more I'm going to attract it to me too. So, and I do understand that.
The more you don't like it, the more that greed maybe hides in the bathroom because greed is afraid that you won't dance with him. Greed runs at you and screams, you have to dance with me, right? They're all different expressions of when we don't choose to dance with a particular player, how that player is going to respond. So let's remember that we are here to dance with every aspect of humanity. And the more we recognize that, the more graceful we can be in that dance. Hello, greed, you stink in my perspective. I'm not enjoying this dance, but I realize I must dance with you. So I shall dance with you. And maybe during this dance, something will awaken in me where I'll understand your value.
Right? Well, and you know what? Even as we're speaking now, as I look inside myself, okay, let's be honest now. I don't like greed because I have greed in me.
Ah.
That is because it's like I can remember saying to a friend of mine who's extremely generous about another friend of mine who's not. I was like, you know, I'm really pissed off at this friend that, you know, I shared a lot of money and there was no thank you, there was no gratitude. And I have done that to this friend I was sharing it with, going, huh, you know, I've been the same way with you, huh? And he was like, well, you know, yeah.
Yes.
And it's like, wow, doesn't that suck? Because it feels terrible. I don't mind spending money. I'm learning to like it. Because it's interesting, again, back to my father. My father, who was raised by a woman who was divorced, which back in the day didn't happen a lot, in poverty consciousness. So I, in turn, was raised in a middle-class family in poverty consciousness that said, don't spend money. Save and hoard. Save and hoard. I mean, I don't know if it's a Jewish thing or what, but in this Jewish household, it was all about save and hoard. And I honor saving, but hoarding, I mean, all you have to do is watch these reality shows about what houses look like when you hoard. Energetically, bank accounts that are not utilizing flow and fluidity get the same stink as homes that are gathering, you know, physical things that are hoarding. You know, hoarding in general is a stinky, stinky energy.
Let's remember that we all have to dance with hoarding at one time. Let's remember that it's like a ticket. So we go in, and before we can leave the party, we have to have danced with everyone. We have to get, we exchange a ticket, right? We
okay.
go and dance with that person and get a ticket. So that
okay.
hoarding is one particular aspect that someone has to dance with at this time. They're choosing that dance because for them, hoarding, there's something of valuable, something of value in it for them. That each of us now, so we have talked about past lives. Now we have, I have said to everyone, go and do the research if you would like some information on it. But for now, let's say that we have spent lifetimes finishing up dancing with the people in the room, right? So right now for you, you might not have hoarding as a player, right? You might
okay.
have already danced with hoarding in many lifetimes, but that's not fair to say that someone else who's dancing with hoarding is not doing something right, because you danced with hoarding at once, so they must dance with hoarding, right?
Absolutely.
The fairness here comes in that those Wall Street gentlemen are having their turn dancing with greed. So, in abundance teaching, so let's buckle the seatbelt again. In abundance teachings, we have to look at what are the things that are standing in the way to understanding all aspects of abundance, all aspects of money. So let's put abundance aside for the moment and work with money. What do we need to understand about money? And greed is one of the things we have to dance with in order to have an abundance of money, because abundance of money from that soulful journey means that I came this time around to look at all aspects with money, to dance in all aspects with money, and to not judge that at one time I was greedy. And I no longer judge those that are dancing with greed right now, because I did that dance, right?
Absolutely.
It wasn't pleasant, it was stinky, and I... Whoa, that poor guy, right?
Indeed, right, yes.
The moment we have compassion for the Wall Street gentleman, so why am I talking Wall Street? Wall Street is about investments, because what we began to talk about last time in terms of money is investments. We started with real estate, but I'm talking here real investments into your own life, whether it be Wall Street, whether it be taking a class, whether it be investing in real estate. I'm talking about investing in your life. And when we look at the biggest investors in the world and we label them as bad, some part of ourselves are labeling an aspect of investing in ourselves as bad. Because what you said, Goldie, is, oh, I have greed in me. So now we actually, here's the bigger picture here. Now we're standing in the room and we understand, oh, no, all of those players I'm going to dance with that look to be someone else, they're actually an aspect of me. I'm dancing with myself 1,000,000,000 times, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Anyone see being John Malkovich when he goes down his little hole himself? The little channeled version. He sees everything as himself. Aha, what a brilliant piece of work right there, right?
Indeed.
Good. So, it was important for me to follow up on this idea of investment in self, because if we're judging those big players of investment, then part of us is going to resist investing in ourselves, right?
Mm.
Whether that be investing in a Tai Chi, in a yoga class, whether that be investing in whatever. Right? Whatever.
Right. Because it could be education. It could be anything. It could literally be anything. How about the first caller investing in sacred space? I mean.
Exactly. Thank you for filling in the blanks, because the blanks are numerous. They're unending, right? So let's not judge. those that are investors, because in some ways we're gonna judge ourselves. And right now is the time to invest in ourselves, everyone. It's time to look at, what is it really time for me to spend time with it? Is it money? Is it my core? Is it my wardrobe? Is it my self-esteem? Is it, what time is it right now? And for everyone, there is an answer to that question. What time is it in terms of investing in self? What do you need to look at in terms of investing in yourself right now? Make sense?
Completely.
Good, good. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to take a moment to bring Christina back, yes?
In okay.
That time, she's in a fast, so she needs to take a really fast break here. So chat to everybody about what you're thinking about this whole conversation. So what you talked about with Christina, the callers, anything that Goldie wants to share with the audience. Go right ahead, yes?
Okay. So she'll be back before the end of the show, but just not right away.
She'll be right back in a minute.
No problem.
Okay?
No problem. Okay. And Sophia, I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I love you. And thank you to all the listeners tonight and all the callers in. Thank you. Anyone that ever wants to call in, please join us. I promise I don't bite. We might go on a roller coaster ride, but eventually you'll enjoy it, right?
Oh, completely. Completely.
Right.
If you're open to really investing in yourself, I can't recommend enough Third Thursdays, chatting with Sophia as well as Christina and myself. I mean, it really is a beautiful experience. You're beautiful.
Namaste.
Yes. Namaste. Namaste. Okay, so while Christina takes a break and then Sophia, goes back into the non-physical. Wow, what would I like to share? Okay, well, let me tell you about some shows I have coming up. That sounds like a good thing to do because I'm not quite sure what else to do. Next week, I was going to go on vacation, but I have decided not to go on vacation. Well, I'm going to be on vacation for my job, but I'm not going away. So we're going to do some kirtan chanting. I'm very excited. I've had these chanters on the show before about 2 years ago, and they're fabulous. I think they're called Ma Kirtan. They're fabulous. I very much enjoyed it. We're going to be broadcasting out of Pymander Bookstore, which is also always fun to take the radio show on the road. And the following week, on April 29th, Phil Imbrogno is going to be joining me. He's a dear friend of mine. He recently wrote a book, he recently just published a book called Files from the Edge, which are stories of a paranormal investigator, and it's many different stories about UFO encounters, stories about the djinn, stories about metaphysical experiences, and lo and behold, one of my stories is actually in the book, which I'm very excited about. I finished reading the book. It's a wonderful read. The book goes very quickly. You can get it on Amazon. Again, the name is Files from the Edge. And actually, if you Google this, it's Philip Imbrogno. If you do Phil Imbrogno, it doesn't show up. But Philip Imbrogno, Files from the Edge. So that is the 29th in May. Oh, I'm very excited, too. In May 6th, Paul Rademacher. He works at, he's the director at the Moreau Institute, and that's another fabulous guest. He works a lot with Hemisync, which is...
I called it Christina. Is that the same one I called?
Yes, he's coming back, and he's
right.
Fabulous. Yeah, we had a great show, and but Christina's back. I never know what to do with him.
No worries. Well, I've been on a fast, so I needed a little
break. No, listen, sweetheart, I have heard from a few people, whoa, two-hour show, you hope you go to the bathroom before the beginning, because what do you do? And I'm like, hey, listen, if you got to go, you go. I can totally handle it, so no worries whatsoever.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. I had some real interesting. She really does get directly to my core because.
Yeah, that's what she does. That's exactly.
The last couple of months, I've been interested in what we've been saying, but it has not. There's a core that tonight, building my core is once I get that clear, so to speak, or in my case, stronger.
Right.
Everything else is going to very naturally proceed. I can't build on a weak foundation because intuitively I know it's a weak foundation.
Well, I think it's a really interesting metaphor in that I really do believe that's exactly what Sophia does. She does get to the core with people. So she identifies. So for you, the issue is the core, which is funny. Right?
Exactly.
She's going to really kind of tap into what is that core issue? What is that thing that is actually burdening you more than you realize? What's going on in a way that maybe you're not conscious of? So as you were talking, I wasn't conscious of that core being the thing. It wasn't striking me yet, because it's all about what she does is dance with you to get to the core.
Absolutely. But that's the beauty of Sophia, is that it's painless. At least that's been my experience.
It's
a wonderful dance that never makes me feel bad to go through those layers.
Well, I love that you say that, because that's one thing I have been wanting to share with people, that when people imagine talking to her, the idea of, she's a form of a spiritual therapist, you imagine it to be ouch and painful. The thing about Sophia that if you follow us on any radio shows, check out the YouTube, go to the website, ChristinaSophia.com, all of that, you'll find that she has fun. She makes everything enjoyable, and that it's not painful. There may be moments where, you're looking at something. But in general, I've never, ever had anyone walk away and say they didn't feel better. That they always felt better than, they didn't walk away going, oh man, that was hard stuff talking about my mom. I have people that go, wow, I'm exhausted. That was fabulous. But I've never had anyone say, man, she made me feel bad. You know?
Yeah, no, it's guilt free chocolate. It really is, because her insights create aha moments within you, and I highly recommend, you know, if you can, if you do it, I do this dance with her monthly, there is a momentum that, you know, you have a session with her, and in all honesty, she's always said, if you don't do the homework, that's okay. Because on several occasions I have not done the homework, and my own beating up happens from that, but never from Sophia. From myself I have done that, but never from her. And the truth of the matter is I'm still getting underneath layers upon layers simply because I have a momentum that I work with her every month.
Exactly. Well, it's a great – I have a lot of clients that work monthly. I have a lot of clients that work weekly. That
indeed.
There is a type of momentum. And even that one time, Sophia, you know, consultation can create a momentum in other areas of your life.
Indeed.
So it may be something, oh, man, I'm not ready to work with someone that intense. And it's very funny. You'll find that she has an intensity on air, yet depending on who she's with, that all of that shifts and changes. You get exactly the Sophia that's tailored to help you, to facilitate your life becoming easier, better, more complete. And if you're someone that likes gentle, I was really laughing recently. One client said to me, I came to a group and, God, that Sophia was so loud. That's not the Sophia I get. She's so soft and gentle. Really. And so you'll see that she definitely shifts and changes in order to give you exactly what's appropriate for you to expand, you know. So
that's amazing.
I
wish I could learn to do more, because I tend to be, you know, I'm a sledgehammer. And I tell people, if you don't enjoy blunt objects to your forehead, you're best not to work with me, because I'm not the most tactful person. my style is just very, I would compare myself very to Carolyn Mace. And some people resonate with that and some people don't. And I honor for myself the ones that don't. It's best for me, you know what I mean? I just tend to work with the people who do, so.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think that's the interesting, what makes us an interesting, you know, duo is that, yes, I'm straightforward, yet I'm very diplomatic, and she has her own way with everyone. She finds a way to offer you exactly what you need. So if you need blunt, she gives you blunt.
And she does do that with me, and in all honesty, I enjoy that. It's clear. Go to my core, please. Let's cut the bullshit. Just go to the core. And she does. She really does.
It's a really good reminder that that's not necessarily, she works with you that way because that's how you understand information.
Indeed.
Best, right?
Indeed.
I think that's the thing that would be great to close on tonight is that she really does share information in a way that's easy. And I know that's hard to believe sometimes, but it's easy working with Sophia.
Indeed, indeed.
Well,
because, you know, I want to say one thing, too, that I've noticed, you know, with many of the channelers that, because I listen to, you know, I won't say several, the few that I resonate with, and the thing that I honor about all of them is their compassion is just forefront. It's where I want to be, you know, it's my goal to be completely compassionate, just as Sophia brought out tonight, to have the compassion for greed and hoarding and Wall Street. When she points it out, I'm like, yes, indeed, that makes total sense. I just can't wait till it's an actual total experience in my body, as well as my voice, as well as my words. You know what I mean? Where the channelers are just so compassionate.
Yeah, I think she would say to that it's with time, patience, and practice.
Namaste. Right? Indeed. Indeed.
Thank you, Goldie. It's been so great being here. And I'll just throw out ChristinaSophia.com if anyone wants to check out the website and join the mailing list. So
absolutely. And third Thursdays, every third Thursday, you can come here. Call in. Join in the fun. I love that when the callers call in. I love you, Christina. I love you, Goddess Sophia. Thank you all for being here, and we'll see everybody next week. Namaste, everyone.